Articles by Fearlessly Courageous from the desk of Dennis Piller. Delivered by the hands of a woman. We have all heard stories of how God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. But today we somehow fail to take up the courage to apply that to our own lives. I did a little study on the story in Judges 4 and 5 that explores what we can learn from Deborah about calling on the power of the Holy Spirit during difficult times. Even at a time when Israel had no regard for a woman's perspective in leadership, Deborah's rare leadership quality and the value of her advice, through not just hearing but obeying God's word, is a great example for every woman and every man today. Let me give you a little bit of a backdrop if I can. Judges 4 begins with the death of Ehud, the second judge of Israel. He was the assassin leader of chapter 3 who freed Israel from the Moabites. It's amazing the people God can use to fulfill his purposes. There seems to be this reoccurring spiral after a judge dies that the Israelite people return to their wicked ways and God will again give them over to their enemies, and in this case, to Jabin and the Canaanites. 20 years later, Deborah recruits General Barak to stand by her side, telling him God wants the armies of Israel to attack the Canaanites who were persecuting the highland tribes. She is the only female judge, the only one to be called a prophet, and she is the only woman described in the Bible as being a judge. Miriam was the first female prophetess in Deuteronomy 34:10. But judges were regional leaders who arbitrated cases between people, helping the people follow God in ways of righteousness, and occasionally fought battles against their enemies. As in biblical times, God is calling today's women to a purpose greater than themselves. The Deborah anointing shows you that although you may have been trapped in tradition and locked into captivity by culture and gender prejudices, God desires for you to break through these barriers. Normally, God would raise up a judge to lead the people in a military battle over the enemy, a man. But God doesn't see that as something appropriate for a woman to be a military commander. So look at how God uses Deborah. God gave Deborah a prophetic word to approach Barak to gather an army of 10,000 Israelites to fight against the Canaanites. The Canaanite army had many soldiers and chariots, and the Israel army was afraid, but not Deborah. She knew the Lord would deliver them. General Barak was actually afraid to battle without Deborah. In turn, she prophesied that the honor of the victory would not go to him, but rather to a woman in Judges 4:9. Barak asked Deborah to go with him because of her connection with God. Some scholars say he was spineless, while others see it as a smart decision because she was the mediator between Israel and God himself. Others say it's similar to the language that Moses had told God at Mount Sinai, that Moses asked for his brother Aaron to go with him. "Very well," Deborah said, "I will go with you. But because of the way you're going about this, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will hand over them by the means of a woman." That other woman was Jael, who killed their leader while he slept. Deborah is used by God as a mother figure when you have a nation of spiritual children. She's used by God to call Barak to lead. She even takes the initiative and shows courage in doing that. But really, that is something Barak should have done. And it seems the whole point here is that once Deborah urged him to step up and lead, he didn't quite do this. He ends up a bit ashamed in the whole situation because he wasn't the man of courage the Lord had called him to be. Add to this Only two tribes of Israel fought in this battle. Where were the other men who were supposed to step up and fight and lead their families to freedom? Today, we as Christ Church fight a spiritual battle, but it is still a battle, and we still have Christ leading the way. That's why we are called in Ephesians 6 to be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. Even though God mightily uses women to take on extraordinary roles at times, too many of our women today are forced to lead because their husbands will not and do not. In conclusion, I'd like to appeal to both men and women here separately. To men, I urge you all to be Christ-like leaders in your home and in your church and in your community. We will suffer if the men will not rise up and be leaders. And you don't have to be an ordained minister in the church to provide leadership. Show courage, take initiative, take a stand for Christ, and bring others along with you. Lead in prayer. Lead in studying the scriptures. Lead with humility. Lead with love. And make sure you do not lead out of pride or arrogance. Don't lead harshly. And very importantly, don't lead ignorantly. If you're going to lead, then you need to be leading with wisdom and knowledge. That will mean you'll need to know those times and areas where you're not equipped to lead, and you'll have to be silent. But then, endeavor to grow so that the next time you can rise to the challenge. As for the woman, the encouragement of this package is that God can and does use women in amazing ways and in varying circumstances. Seek out the ways God has especially gifted you. Look at the needs that are present in the church and look to use your gifts in accordance with God's will. God highly values you and has amazing plans to use you. In the New Testament, the church's warfare is spiritual. That means there are frontline jobs for both men and women. Find your role and do it with all your heart. Let me encourage you in your fast between now and Easter. Let His Holy Spirit speak to you. I pray you make it a Jesus-filled day.